image Jesus, our perfect high priest. And not only that, we see an image of what we are to become, and that we are a kingdom of priests. But in that priesthood in the Old Testament, we see this very vivid image, this representation, the sacrifices that were constantly given, and all of those animals, and all of those bulls and goats, and all of that blood. That image shows us the awfulness of sin and the price that would have to be paid to free us from sin. Or the image of rest in the Sabbath showed us what living with God, being with God, was going to be like, and that it is rest from trouble and labor and sin. Even people could be this kind of image. King David was an image to us of what God's anointed would be like. An imperfect image for sure, but how often in his life did we see reflections of what would be fulfilled in Jesus? And one image that I want to focus on this morning is the image of the wilderness. We see it over and over in the Old Testament. And I don't know, when I say that word wilderness, what comes up in your mind? But a desolate place. Maybe a desert. Something like that. But how often did the people of God find themselves in the wilderness? And the Bible shows it as a place of preparation. The wilderness was always where God's people, God's chosen, went because they had a great destiny in front of them. But they needed to be prepared. And so in the wilderness, through trials, through temptation, God would get them ready for the destiny that they had in front of them. A few examples. In Genesis 37, we're told about Joseph. And Joseph had a great destiny in front of him. God had given him visions. Visions of stars and the heavenly hosts bowing to him. Visions of these sheaves of wheat representing his family bowing to him. It was evident that God was preparing him for something great. But just because he had that destiny in front of him didn't mean that everything was going to immediately blossom for him and everything was going to be rosy. God had to prepare him. You might think, where in that story does the wilderness come in? But if you look in chapter 37 and verse 22, when Joseph is betrayed by his brothers, when he's thrown into a pit and sold into slavery, the text tells us that Reuben told the brothers to throw him into this pit in the wilderness. And it's in the wilderness that his trials begin, with betrayal, with temptation, with Potiphar's wife, with troubles in prison, all of this leading him toward his destiny to save his brothers, to save his family from famine, to make sure that God's people would continue, even through great trial. But to get to his destiny, to get to Egypt where he would be exalted, he had to go through the wilderness first. And I think anytime we think about the wilderness and scripture, we have to think about the children of Israel. These are, again, a people with a great destiny. God had promised Abraham, their father, that these children would become great and numerous and a blessing, and they would be have a land and be a nation. But all of this was still in front of them. They find themselves in slavery in Egypt, crying out to God. And God finally comes to Moses and says, it's time. I'm going to bring my people out and I'm going to take them to a promised land. And incidentally, when Moses meets with God at the burning bush, the text tells us that the mountain was there. He was fielding his sheep out in the wilderness. Even his journey begins there. But they come out of Egypt and they travel again in the wilderness, and they are tested by God. Exodus 16:4 says that when God sent the manna was there as a test, to test them to see if they would be faithful to him, if they would keep his commandments. Chapter 20 and verse 20, God says that his appearance at Sinai, where he comes to them in thunders and lightning And in this horribly frightening, scary manner was a test for them to see where their hearts were, to see if they would follow him. And when God brings them finally to the border of the promised land to fulfill that destiny, they fail, they rebel. And what does God do? Well, he drives them right back into the wilderness for 40 years until a new generation who had been tested and tried would rise up along with Joshua and Caleb, and they would be able to enter into that destiny. But they were prepared to accept it because they wandered in the wilderness for all that time. King David, he gets anointed by Samuel to be king. And yet, just because he's been anointed, just because he's God's choice, doesn't mean they hand over the crown and all of a sudden he's the king. This anointed one, this God's choice, this man after God's own heart, finds himself in the wilderness. In chapters 23 through 26 of 1 Samuel, over and over and over, it keeps telling us, and David was in the wilderness, and Dave hid in the wilderness. And some of the people of the land went to Saul and told him, David is hiding in the wilderness, come out here. David has his own trial in the wilderness. And interestingly, just like Jesus, out in the wilderness, David is tempted three times. Twice he's tempted to kill Saul, his enemy. He passes the test. He's tempted to, you know, you're the king. You know you're the king. Take your destiny the quick way, the easy way. Kill Saul. And the third time, the second time, he's tempted by this man, Nabal, who treats him with disrespect, treats him with dishonor, and David is tempted to take his own vengeance and take his own way. But he's tempted three times in the wilderness and must go through years of trial and tribulation in order to reach hold of the destiny God had prepared to him for him and to be king. And so we think of Jesus, the greatest destiny that has ever been laid out for anyone, to save his people from their sins, to bring us back to God, to give us the hope of heaven. So it's no wonder that in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. God had been showing us through all these men, all these people, that Jesus would have to go through the same trial. He would have to go through the wilderness, be tempted, suffer, so that he could reach hold of his destiny. And the devil tempts him. He's tried with hunger and tempted to use his power for selfishness. He's tried with doubt, whether or not God will really take care of him, whether or not God really loves him. And he's tempted to test that love. And just like David before him, Jesus is tempted to take the easy way out. When the devil offers and says, you don't need to suffer. You don't need to go to a cross. You don't need to go through all of the pain and the suffering that the next few years on this earth would provide. All you need to be is to bow down, and I will give all of this to you. You can have it without a fight. He's tempted to take the easy road. But Jesus succeeds. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, we're told that Jesus' time in the wilderness, not just in this temptation with the devil, but everything he suffered, everything he experienced while he was on this earth, all the temptation, all the pain, all the suffering was necessary because Jesus was to be our high priest. He was to be one that had to understand what we felt, what we experience. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says, therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Jesus' time in the wilderness meant that he could be our high priest because he suffered. And he faced trial and he was tempted just like we are. He bore it all and passed the test. And because of that, we have our opportunity to face our own wilderness. And now he has grasped his destiny and sits at God's right hand. And I hope that gives us some perspective of the life that Jesus lived, why it was necessary for him to suffer, why it was necessary for him to go through the wilderness, because that's what it required for him to be our sacrifice. But it should also give us a perspective of ourselves in the world we live in. We complain about this world, and we should. There's a lot of evil. There's a lot of sin. There's a lot of suffering in this world. But this world is our wilderness. While we're here, it's not supposed to be comfortable and easy. When Israel went into the wilderness on their way to the promised land, it wasn't supposed to be comfortable. The comfortable happened in the promised land. The wilderness was getting them ready to be there. And our wilderness is a trial, and it is temptation, and it is not our home. We're not to make our abode here. It is preparing us for another place. It is preparing us for our destiny to live in an eternity with God in heaven. Jesus faced that trial and passed through it for us. And the question is, will we do the same? Will we pass through our trial in our wilderness? And will we do the same for him? Will we pass? As we look at this table, this is evidence of his victory, of the fact that the world that he lived in, the sufferings that he went through, could not defeat him, could not beat him. And they should be an encouragement to us that this world, as bad as it is, doesn't have to beat us either.